Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf tes in Masechta Brachos. We're dealing with the topic of what is the definition of night and what's the definition of day. The Torah gives us a mitzvah to say Kriyat Shema at night, Shachbacha, when you lay down, and then to say Kriyat Shema in the morning, Bekumecha, when you get up. So we saw that there were two Lashonos, two versions about what Rav Acha Bar Chanina said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Halach is like Rav Shimon ben Yochai, either to teach us that a Kriyat Shema after Alos HaShachar, but before Netzach Hama, also can count as a Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, or to say that a Kriyat Shema right before Alos HaShachar will count as a Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, but a Kriyat Shema after Alos HaShachar, that already counts as a Kriyat Shema of the morning. Says the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, let's start again here with the second version, the Ikud Amri. We'll start again on Chesam at Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Ikud Amastni, Laha, Rav Acha Rav Chanina, Aha, Tani Rav Shimon, Aha. There are those who taught this lesson of Achal, the son of Rav Chanina, on the following. The Tani Wilton of Brisa. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says the name of Rabbi Akiva, according to this Brisa. Pam Shadam Kore Kriyat Shema Shtei Pam B'Yom. A person might be reading Kriyat Shema two times during daylight. Achas Kodam Netzach Hama, one before the sun rose over the mountains. The Achas and the other was Li'achar Netzach Hama, after the sun rose over the mountains. And through these two Kriyat Shemas, he's going to have two mitzvos fulfilled. Achas Shel Yom, he's going to fulfill the Kriyat Shema of Bikumecha through the Kriyat Shema of after sunrise. The Achas Shel Laila, and he'll have the Kriyat Shema of Bishachbacha, laying down, through the Kriyat Shema of night. Ask the Gemara 1 second. Same question we had before. Hagufa Kashya, the language itself seems to be a contradiction. Amrit, you said, Pam Shadam Kore Kriyat Shema, Shtei Pam Biyom. Sometimes a person reads Kriyat Shema two times during the day, after Alos and after Nates. Alma, apparently, Kodama Netzachama before Netzachama Yamamahu. It's already day. But then it says, Yotzim and Yidei Chavaso, through these two Kriyat Shemas, you fulfill two obligations. Acha Shel Yom, what was the Kriyat Shema of Bekumecha? That's after sunrise. The Acha Shel Laila, and one's the Kriyat Shema of laying down, which is before sunrise. That means that before sunrise, but after there's light out, after Amud HaShachar, but before Netzach Hama, before there's sunrise, is still Lailahu. It's still considered night. Answers the Gemara. Now starting today's daf. Lo, no, Lo Olam, Yamamahu. In terms of colloquially, once there's light out, we call it day. But Haida Kakar Leila, why do you fulfill your obligation of nighttime Kriyat Shema with the Shema of after Amud HaShachar, before Netzach Hama, once there's light out, but the sun hasn't yet risen? Because it's still included in the words B'shachbacha. Deikinchi, there are people, what does B'shachbacha literally mean? When you lay down. Deikinchi, there are people, Degani Ba'ishaita, they're laying down, even though there's still light out. There may be light out, they're not getting out of bed yet, they want to sleep a little bit longer. They're still laying, so that's why it's still called B'shachbacha. Amar Rav Acha Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Shimon Levi. According to this version, Rav Acha Rav Chanina said, Rav Shimon Levi, Halacha Kriya Shimon Shem Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that you can fulfill your Kriyat Shema of evening, even when there's light out, because even though it's after Alos HaShachar, it's before Netz HaChama. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir said, we said before that you can fulfill your Kriyat Shema of evening right before Alos HaShachar. That's the first version. Rabbi Zera said, if you're going to say your Kriyat Shema of evening right before it starts to be light, Ubilvad Shelo Yomar Hashkivenu, you should not say the blessing of Hashkivenu. We know that the Kriyat Shema of night is two blessings before and two blessings after. One blessing after is Emes Ve'amuna. The second blessing after is Hashkivenu. Hashkivenu is Hashem, please lay us down and let us go to sleep. That's to be recited at the beginning of the night when you're laying down, you want to go to sleep. But at the end of the night, when it's right before there's going to be light, you're not going to go to sleep now. So then you don't say the blessing of Hashkivenu. Ki Aser of Yitzchak Bar Yosef. When Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef came from the land of Israel to Bavel, Amar he said, Hadar Rav Acha Rav Chanina Rav Shimon Levi. This lesson of Rav Acha Rav Chanina and Rav Shimon Levi, that halacha is like Rav Shimon. La Beferish Itmar. He didn't say it explicitly. Ela Michlela Itmar, but we inferred it from something else he said. What was the other thing? What did we infer? There were this pair of rabbis, the Ishtakur, they got drunk. The Hilula, the Brei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, at the wedding of the son of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. They got drunk. So they couldn't say Shema until they came to. Asulakame, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. They came in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but they're fine. By the time they were able to say Shema, it was close to morning already. He said, listen, Kedayu Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is big enough. He is worthy enough. Lismoch alav b'shas atchak. You can rely on him in difficult times. In difficult times, you can rely on Reb Shimon. Now we know Reb Shimon ben Yochai is also the author of the Zohar HaKadosh. He's the source of the Kabbalah that we know. That's why in Lag BaOmer, all the Chassidish Rebbes, they say this Gemara, Kedayu Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon's enough. Lismoch alav b'shas atchak. In all difficult times, before Mashiach comes, and we have all sorts of tzaris, enough is Reb Shimon. We can rely on Reb Shimon's Torah and the Torah of Kabbalah to rely on it to have support b'shas atzchak in difficult times. That's what we have here. You can rely on Reb Shimon, b'shas atzchak. Listen, you should have said Shema earlier. Now it's really late. Okay, but Reb Shimon says you can still say Shema. That's enough. You can rely on him. You can say Shema even though it's almost morning. It's almost Netzach Amah. The sun's about to rise. You can rely on Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds. You can say Shema even after Alos HaShachar. So long as it's before Netzach Amah, you can still say Shema and rely on Reb Shimon. All right, going now to the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us that the Mishnah is talking about the timing for the Shema of night. So what's the beginning time? When the stars come out. When Kohanim, who were tumim, went to the mikvah, are able to eat truma again because the stars came out and there was the completion of the Harav Shemesh, of the full setting of the sun. And then the Mishnah talks about the end time of reading Shema. What's the end time of reading Shema? Three possibilities. According to Belezer, the end of the first shift of angels. According to the Chachamim, midnight. And according to Ben Gamliel, all the way till the morning. Till Alos HaShachar, till there's light. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, it was a story where the children of Ben Gamliel came back from a wedding, and it was after the middle of the night, but the sun hadn't yet risen. And the question was, could they read Shema? They asked their father, Ben Gamliel. Ben Gamliel said, of course. Not only did the sages say it over here, but even in regards to the extra limbs and fats, and even in regards to the carbon toda or anything that's eaten for the day that it's slaughtered in the next night, really you have the whole night to do the mitzvah. Why'd they say till midnight, just to keep people away from sin? You should still read Shema, even though it's after midnight. So that was the story in the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah says, Masna was a story. Children came back from a wedding, and they said, we didn't read Shema yet. He said, oh, you got to read Shema because it's still night. Ask me more, I understand. Vad hashta until now. Lo shmiel u hadr ben Gamliel. They didn't know what their father's opinion was. They didn't know that their father holds you can reach Shema all night. They ask him. We didn't reach Shema yet. They didn't know. So the Gemara explains like this. Hachi kamerli. This is what the children are telling their father. We know what you say. You say you can reach Shema all night. But you're the minority. Rabbanan pligi levach. We know that the rabbis disagree with you. The majority disagrees with you. Yachid v'rabim, when you have an argument between the minority, an individual, versus the majority, halacha k'rabim, halacha is like the majority. So therefore, now that it's after midnight, and the majority say you only have till midnight, we came after midnight, it's it, too late, we can't say Shema. Well, Dilmor, maybe, Rabbanan kavasei svirle. Maybe the Rabbanan, the rabbis, the majority really agree with you. They really agree that you can say Shema the whole night. Why did they say that till midnight? They're just saying, l'chatkila. Ideally do it before the middle of the night. Create pressure, as we saw that the person deserves death if he doesn't do it that way. So that a person will say Shema early and he won't delay. But really they agree that there is a mitzvah the whole night, that the biblical mitzvah is the whole night. That b'shach b'cha means when you're laying down, and therefore it applies to all night, not just when you're going to sleep. They said till midnight was just kedei l'archik adam min aveira, to keep a person away from sin. Amar lehu, Rabbi Gamliel said to them, Rabbanan kavasi sfirlu. Even if you want to follow the rabbis, because majority versus minority, Allah is like the majority agrees with me. They agree that the mitzvah of Shema is all night. And therefore, you're coming back after a wedding, after midnight. Chayav amatem, you're obligated to read Shema. Haidekam yad chatzos. This is what they said till midnight. That's only kedei l'archik adam min aveira. That's just to keep a person away from sin, to create pressure that he does it earlier than later. But really, the mitzvah is all night, so you got to do it now, even though it's after midnight. And then Rabbi Gamliel went on to say to them, not only is Kriyat Shema an example of where the rabbis imposed artificially a deadline of midnight to try to make sure that people not miss out entirely, wherever the rabbi said midnight, it really means that the mitzvah is all night. They said midnight to keep a person away from sin, so the burning of limbs and fats, and the eating of a carbon, which is supposed to be eaten the day it's slaughtered and the next night, like a carbon toda, really it's all night. And why did they say midnight? Just to keep a person away from sin. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Rabbi Gamliel, does Rabbi Gamliel himself say that you have only till midnight? And he says, not only is this the case that midnight is only artificial, but all cases of midnight is artificial? Amru, they explained. This is what Rabbi Gamliel is telling his children. No, even according to the rabbis. To come out chatzos, to stay till the middle of the night. Really, mitzvah, so the mitzvah is that she'alam ad ha-shachar. The mitzvah is till morning, till there is light out. To come out chatzos, this that they said till the middle of the night. Because kadei la'archa gadam and aveir, just to keep a person away from sin, just like we find with the burning of the limbs and fats. And in regards to eating the meat of a carbon toda, really you have all night to eat it. They said till midnight, just to keep a person away from sin.
Rabbi, isn't after dawn not artificial? After dawn, it's impossible. So it
after
wasn't
dawn.
Rabbi Shimon to say Shema.
Wasn't Rabbi Shimon, you can say.
No, but wasn't Rabbi Shimon undermining all the rabbis and Rabbi Gamliel by saying, okay, to the man?
No, it's Rabbi Shimon's leniency. He holds you have till the sunrise.
Yeah, but he's still undermining everybody else.
Okay, that's his opinion. It's his
you.
View.
They agree with him.
So now, going again to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Mishnah had listed two laws where you have really all night, namely the burning of the limbs and the fats of sacrifices. You have all night to burn them. And the law of eating from the carbon toda. You have really all night to eat from it. The idea of midnight is just to keep people away from delaying and possibly missing out entirely. So the Gemara now is going to discuss the issue of carbon Pesach. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that carbon Pesach also, really, you have all night to eat it? And they made a law to only eat it by the middle of the night. Says the Gemara, Hector Chalav Mevar. Now, the two dots. V'ilu achilas psachim, whereas eating the carbon Pesach. Lo katani, that is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Where many of it, I'll challenge you, we learned in another Mishnah. Kriyat Shema, in a brisa, Kriyat Shema of Arvis, the Kriyat Shema of night. And Halel on Lele Psachim, the Halel of Pesach night. V'achilas Pesach, and eating the carbon Pesach. Mitzvah son, the mitzvah is ad she'alam ad ha-shachar, until the morning. So therefore, if the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is till, I'm sorry, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach is till the morning, it should have been listed in our Mishnah as yet another example of something which the mitzvah is all night. And the rabbi said, okay, don't only do it by the middle of the night. Rav Yosef said, Lo Kasha, I'll tell you, it's not a problem why the Mishnah doesn't mention eating Karban Pesach. Ha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Ha, Rabbi Akiva. The Bryce is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says that Kriyat Shema is not like eating Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is not like Kriyat Shema or eating a Karban Toda or burning limbs and fats. Burning limbs and fats, eating Karban Toda, Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah is all night. Biblically, rabbinically, they said, do it by the middle of the night. But in regards to eating Karban Pesach, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the mitzvah, midoraisa, is only till the middle of the night. The mitzvah, midoraisa, is till the middle of the night. That's not listed. Because our mission is saying things that really the biblical mitzvah is all night. But this is not the biblical mitzvah all night. Here, the biblical mitzvah is only until the middle of the night. Either Brisa says that Karban Pesach is all night, like Halalan Pesach is all night, like Kriyat Shema is all night, biblically. Oh, that's just the view of Rabbi Akiva. It's not the view of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, not the view of Rabbi Akiva. Again, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Ha, our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Ha, the Braisa is Rabbi Akiva. Where did we see them argue? Did Tani look in a Braisa? The verse says about the Karban Pesach, the achlu es ha-basar, they're going to eat the meat, ba-layla hazeh, on this night. Oh, it's Xavier Shava here. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Ne'amar kan ba-layla hazeh. It says over here, on this night. Strange formulation. Ve'ne'amar la'alan, it says in regards to the death of the firstborn. Va'avarti beretz Mitzrayim, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. Ba'layla hazeh, on this night, and kill the firstborn. When did God kill the firstborn? At midnight. So therefore, ma'alan ad chatzos, just like the killing of the firstborn was till midnight. Afkan, so too in regards to eating Karban Pesach, where the Torah says, eat it ba'layla hazeh, it means you have to eat it by midnight. Rabbi Akiva disagreed. He said, no. You have all night to eat Karban Pesach. Halok Varnamar, the verse says, Bechipazon, you have to eat it in a state of hurry. The same way you left in a state of hurry. Now, when did you leave in a state of hurry? In the morning. Adshas Chipazon. That means you have till the morning, till the moment of leaving in a hurry to eat Karban Pesach. Okay, so what's each one going to do? Is the other one's possible? Im kein if so, according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns from the word b'chipazon, that you have till morning for Korban Pesach, matam alomer b'layla hazeh. What does he learn from the words b'layla hazeh? Eat it on this night, which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used for the Gzeirah Shavah to mean you only have until midnight. So he'll say like this, yachol yenechal b'kikachim b'yom. I might have thought that it's going to be like a Korban. It's a Korban, so it'd be like a Korban Toda. You eat it when you slaughter it, Erev Pesach, and the next night. It'll be like a Korban. Tam alomer, that's what the verse says, b'layla, eat it at night. You can only eat it at night. You can't eat it during the day. That's what Rabbi Akiva does with Balayla Azeh. Okay, Bishmul Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's view says you have till midnight for Korban Pesach because he has a Gzeirah Shavah. It says Balayla Azeh about eating Korban Pesach. It said Balayla Azeh in regards to the death of the firstborn on Pesach night. We understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's like Gzeirah Shavah. He has a derivation of the same word appearing in two contexts. So it's a chlamichta hazeh. I understand why it has to say the word hazeh for the gzeirah shavah. El Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, who says if you use the word balayla, just to say that you have to eat it at night, you can't eat it during the day. Hi hazeh, my avilei. What does he use with the word hazeh for? Answer the Gemara. Balayla hazeh uses for the following. Glimuta layla acher. You eat it on this night, but not on another night. Not on another night. That's what it comes for. Huda asa. Glimuta layla acher. To exclude another night. Huda asa. That's what it comes for. You would have thought to say like this. There are two types of holy sacrifices, Kachim Kalim and Kachim Kachim. So the holiest of holies and the lower level of holies. So a Korban Pesach is like a Shlamim. It's a low level of holiness. So since Pesach is Kachim Kalim, and we know that a Shlamim is also Kachim Kalim, a sacrifice called the Shlamim sacrifice is Kachim Kalim. So Ma Shlamim Nechal Lishnei Yamim V'Layla Echa, just like the Shlamim can be eaten for 2 days and a night in between. I would have thought that the Pesach is also eaten for two periods and a period in between. So I would say that the Pesach is eaten Shtei Leilos, because it says by Laila, so this night, and then the next night, and the day in between. That's why the Torah says, Shnei Leilos V'yom Echad. Kamashmal, and that's why I have the word Hazeh. The verse is saying, Balayla, at night you eat it, Hazeh, this night. Balayla Hazeh Unechal, it's eaten this night. Ve'ino Necha Balayla Acher, it's not eaten another night. How does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah know that law? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah knows it from another verse. The verse says, "Lo totiru mimenu ad boker." Don't leave over any of the meat of the Pesach until the morning. So obviously that means you have to eat it this night. That's how he derives it in Nafka. Rabbi Akiva will tell you, if I only have that verse, and I wouldn't have Balayla Azeh, I would have thought to say, my boker, what does it mean, don't leave it over till the morning? Boker sheni, that would mean the second morning. You eat it this night, the next day, and the next night, and don't leave over till the next morning. Rabbi Elazar will tell you no. Kol boker, boker, rishonu. Wherever the Torah says in the morning, it means the first morning. And therefore, there's no thought to think that it means the second morning. So again, we have a big argument here between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, how long you have for eating Korban Pesach. According to Rabbi Akiva, you have all night, based on the word b'chipazon. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you only have till the middle of the night, biblically, based on the words b'layla hazeh. Says the Gemara, b'hani tanoi. Now the following tanoim are Kehani Tanoi. They're also like these Tanoim. These Tanoim are like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, the Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach. Three times. Sham Tizbachas HaPesach, there you'll slaughter the Pesach Bo'erev. Time number one, in the evening. Kivo HaShemesh, as the sun sets. Mo'ed Tzischami Mitzrayim, at the time that you walked out of Egypt. So three times here. Bo'erev, Kivo HaShemesh, and Mo'ed says Chabim Mitzrayim. So what are these three times for? Rebbe Eliezer Omer blesses like this. Ba'erev, in the evening, atazoveach. You slaughter the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, on the day before Pesach, after the Tumid of the afternoon, after the Tumid Shabbat Arbaim, when it's evening. That's in terms of the Shechita. What's the time for the slaughtering? Kivo HaShemesh. Then when the Torah mentions as the sun sets, that's atazoveach. You can only eat once the sun set, once the stars are out, once it's night. Mo'ed says Chabim Mitzrayim, the time when you left Egypt. At that point already, atazoreif. That's the time when you're burning. You're already burning it. In the morning, the time when you left Egypt, you're already burning it because it already is finished after midnight. You can't eat it anymore. However, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Ba'erev atazoveach. Yes, Ba'erev is that that's the time of Shechita. Kivo HaShem is when the sun sets, when the stars come out, atazochel, it's the time of eating. Ba'ad matay atazochel v'olech, and until can you eat? Ad mo'ed seis chomim Mitzrayim, until the time when you left Egypt, namely until the morning. Amar Abba said, how come Modem, everybody agrees? Kishan Nigalu Yisrael from Mitzrayim, when the Jews were redeemed from Egypt. Lo Nigalu Elo Be'erev, they were redeemed in the evening. In the evening already they had permission to leave. Shenamaz, it says, Oshi Otsiach Hashem Alakach Mitzrayim Laila. Hashem took you out of Egypt at night. However, when did they actually leave? When they left, by day. It says, on the morrow after the Pesach, the Jewish people went out, Biyad Rama, with an elevated arm, with an outstretched hand, with great confidence.
What time of day did they leave?
In the morning.
In the morning.
They left in the morning of the 15th of Nisan. Alman Nechlaku. So what's the argument about? How do we define the word chipazon? What does it mean, a rush, being harried? Al-Shas chipazon. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Savar, my chipazon. What does chipazon mean? Chipazon the Mitzrayim, the moment when Egypt was all rushed. So that was the middle of the night. Because in the middle of the night, the Egyptians were dying with the death of the firstborn. So that's when they were rushed. Get out, get out, get out, get out. That's the end of the time for eating Korban Pesach. Rebbe Akiva Savar, my chipazon. What is chipazon? Chipazon the Yisrael, when the Jews are rushed. When are the Jews rushed? When they're actually leaving. Did I take everything? Do I have everything? That's when the Jews are rushed. They say that's why they all, you can eat Korban Pesach until the morning. Tanya Me'achi Yos Lundin, a Braisa this way. The Braisa says, the Pasuk says, Hotziach Hashem Elokecha Mimitzrayim Laila. God, your Lord took you out of Egypt at night. V'chiba Laila Yotzu, did they leave at night? Halolu Yotzu L'Bayom, they left by day. Shneimer says, Mimachas HaPesach after, the day after, they slaughtered the Pesach. Yotzu B'nei Yisrael B'yad Rama, the Jews went out with an elevated arm. Ella, this teaches you Malameh Chitchilam Geulam Yibarev. The redemption began in the evening. So just to share a point of halacha, we know this is a very big discussion in those homes that where the kids have, whether thank God a lot of kids, and the kids have lots of Divrei Torah prepared for the Seder. The question is the Seder going to finish at the right time? Because here we have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah telling us, Korban Pesach, you only had until the middle of the night. And we know that we eat matzah to take the place of the Korban Pesach, we call it the Afikomen. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to have the Afikomen also at the middle of the night. So you have lots of kids, Kanai Nahara, kids and grandchildren, and they have lots and lots of Divrei Torah, and it's 12 o'clock at night, and the middle of the night is 12:35, and you're still at Manishtana or Ravada Mayinu. So what are you going to do? How are you going to have the whole big meal that everybody worked for days and days to prepare? You're going to get there right around the middle of the night. You say, oh, that's it. We just have to have matzah now because we only have to have Afikomen for the middle of the night. What's going to be with the meal? So here we have, based on this Gemara, the amazing leniency of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer said, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, who's the source for the middle of the night, derives it from a Gzeira Shava, comparing Balai Lazeh, Makas Bechoros, the death of the firstborn, to the eating of Korban Pesach. Now, 1 second, Makas Bechoros, was that something that happened over time? It happened in one moment. In one moment, all that the firstborn died. They said, so it must mean that the Korban Pesach is eaten in one moment. What's that one moment? It's the middle of the night. How can you eat something in one moment? It takes time to eat it. They said, the pshat is, you have to have the taste in your mouth at the middle of the night. At the middle of the night, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you have to have the taste of Korban Pesach in your mouth. Now, 1 second. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that you have all night to eat Korban Pesach. So, you're eating it very, very late. 5 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, you can eat something else. It's a new period. New time. It's a new period. They said the same is true according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. After you eat it at the middle of the night, once you have the taste in your mouth at the middle of the night, after the middle of the night, it's a new time. Now you can eat other things. So he said, we're just not sure if halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. He said, so this is what you do. Right before the middle of the night, you take a piece of matzah and you make a condition. You say, if halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then I'm supposed to be eating Korban Pesach and have the taste in my mouth at the middle of the night. This piece of matzah is afikomen. I'm eating it right now. And I'm going to wait till the middle of the night. So at the middle of the night, I'm going to have the taste of Afikomen in my mouth. Afterwards, I can eat other things. If Allah is like Rabbi Akiva, that I really have all night to eat Afikomen. So if I ate Afikomen now I can't eat anything afterwards. No. It's just a regular piece of matzah, and therefore I can eat other things afterwards. So that's what you do at 12:35. The chatzos is 12:37. You take a piece of matzah, tzayas, you say, this is the tznai, here's my condition. If Allah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and all I need to have is the taste for the moment, I'm eating it now. I'll have the taste at the moment, and afterwards I can keep eating. And if halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, okay, this is just a regular piece of matzah. And again, after chatzos, you can keep eating. And not everybody likes this idea, but some did. Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe doesn't like it. He says, we never heard of such a thing. People weren't doing this all along. Everybody's rushing to try to finish by the middle of the night. Why didn't they have this great solution of taking another piece of matzah? So therefore, he rejects it, and other people also reject it. But it is an idea of the Avnei Nezer. Okay, now some words of Agadita about leaving Egypt. We know that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber Nav Azni Ha'am, please speak to the ears of the people, and they should go and borrow each person from their neighbor gold and silver vessels. Please go borrow gold and silver. Amri de Be'er Rabbi Yanai. They said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, Ein na el alashem bakasha. Na is a request, a please. What's the please? Amri le'akadosh baruch le'moshe. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Bevakasha mimcha, as a request of you. Leichem or lam li'Yisrael, go tell the Jewish people, Bevakasha mimchem, I'm begging of you. Shalumi mitzrayim, take chesed v'tzei zav, borrow from the Egyptians, silver and gold, and then schlep it down with you. And when all the Egyptians are going to drown in the Red Sea, it's all going to become yours. Now, why did God say, please borrow the silver and gold? Because he was worried. Shelo yomar oso tzadik. I don't want that tzadik Avram Avinu to come with a complaint. He's going to say, v'avad mi'inu osam ki'em bohem. The covenant of the broken pieces where Hashem said they'll be enslaved, they'll be afflicted. That Hashem fulfilled. But then afterwards they're going to leave with a lot of wealth. Lo ki'em bohem. That he didn't fulfill. So please, I don't want Avram Avinu to complain about me. Amru lo. So the Jewish people said to Moshe when he said, please borrow gold and silver. We just want to get out ourselves. We just want to survive. It's a parable to a person who's in a jail. People tell him, tomorrow they're going to take you out of jail and they're going to give you a lot of money. He says, listen, please, a request of you. Just get me out today. I don't need any money tomorrow. Just get me out today. So the Jews said, we just want to get out. Moshe Rabbeinu had to beg them, please go ask for the gold and the silver so that Avram Avinu not have complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is what? And if Avram Avinu wouldn't have complaints, Hashem's not going to fulfill his promise. So the Hasidim explain, you know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he's probably the Jew alive today who's Sandik most often. He's Sandik all the time. And his father was Sandik all the time. Multiple times a day even. He could be Sandik for multiple brisim. So we know that the halacha is, the Ramah tells us that to be a Sandik is a skula to become rich. Because if a person's a Sandik, it's as if he offered the Ptoras, it's a skula to become wealthy. So they once asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father, the Stipler Gaon, you're the Sandik all the time in the world, and you really have no money at all. So what happened? What happened to the promise of the Ramah? He said, all the books that I put out, all the Kilos Yaakov, that's my riches. Look at all these Torah insights Hashem gave me. That's the wealth. That's the fulfillment of the promise of the Ramah. So the Hasidim say, that's what's going on here. Hashem promised the Jews will have a lot of wealth. So they're going to have a lot of wealth. But maybe the wealth is the wealth of spirituality. They're going to get the Torah. They have all these big books. That's the gift. That's the wealth. Like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, like the Stipler Gaon, the wealth of Torah. So Avram Avinu is going to come to Hashem. He's going to say, listen, when it came to the slavery, it wasn't a spiritual slavery. It was physical slavery with the children thrown into the Nile and people suffering. So when it comes to the wealth, not enough for the spiritual wealth. I want physical wealth. So that Avram Avinu not complain. Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, make sure they have physical wealth too. Make sure that they don't have, that they have the physical wealth also.
On the other hand, Rabbi, if they didn't have gold, maybe it wouldn't be any good desire.
Well, you're asking good questions, good questions. Right, Diza, we had too much gold. That's what we made the golden calf for. That's true. The Klausenberger Rebbe used to say that he's sure that we're going to have Mashiach very soon, Be'ezus Hashem. And when Mashiach comes, every single Jew, the very pious religious Jews and the Jews who don't keep anything, every single Jew is going to become very, very elevated. It's going to reach a very, very high level. It's going to have all the gifts of Mashiach. Why? Because the Gemara says here, Avram Avinu says to Hashem, you afflicted them, so now you have to give them the rewards. It can't be that you just to fulfill the afflictions one way, fulfill the rewards another way. So when it came to the sufferings of the war of the Holocaust, every Jew suffered. Religious, not religious, the Nazis didn't care. They made everybody suffer. So if everybody suffered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make everybody get the blessings. Because Hashem has to be consistent. That's what this Gemara says. So everyone's going to get those blessings. Everyone who has the name Jew is already going to have all the privileges of Yemos HaMashiach from Her B'Yameinu Mamish. All right, going further into this discussion of leaving Egypt, the Torah says, Vayash Ilum, and they forced them to lend. So who was forced? Rabbi said, Melamishish Ilum Bal Korcham. They made them lend against their will. Again, who was made to lend? Igadami, some say Bal Korcham Mitzriim. The Egyptians didn't want to lend, and Hashem forced them to lend. Igadami, others say Bal Korcham Yisrael. The Jews didn't want to take, and Hashem forced the Jews to take. Madam Bal Korcham Mitzriim, the one who says it was against the will of the Egyptians. Midachsiv is from the verse, Unevas Bayis, and the one of the beautiful house, namely the Jewish people, to Chalek Shalal, will divide out the booty. The word shalal is the word that you have normally in a war. You go to war, you take booty. They don't want to give you the booty. You take it against their will. So the Jews were dividing up the booty. That means that the Egyptians had to give it against their will. Ma'adam Rabal Kacham to Yisrael, the one who says it was against the will of the Jewish people. Mishum Masui, the Jewish people didn't want to schlep. And say, well, we have to carry all these things. All the Egyptians are going to run after us with their gold and silver, because they took a lot of gold and silver when they went to war to intimidate the enemy. So they're all going to die at the Red Sea, and we're going to get all the gold at the Red Sea. We know that we got more at the Red Sea than they got when they left Egypt. They said, why should we schlep? Why should we? This is what the Gruss says, is the Pshat in the Gemara here. They said, why should we schlep it down to the Red Sea? Let's save a week of schlepping. We don't want to take anything. The Egyptians will run after us with all their gold and silver. We'll get at the Red Sea. Hashem said, no, I want you to leave now. The same way you're leaving now, I want Avram Avinu right away to have no complaints. I want you to go right away with gold. You have to schlep, even though it's against your will. All right, then the verse says, Vayinatzu es Mitzrayim, and they emptied out Egypt. Amar Rabbi Rami explained, what does it mean they emptied it out? Melamed sha'sa'ua kemitzudash ein badagan. They made it like a trap that has no food in it, no grain in it. When you want to trap birds, you put some grain there to get birds to come. And then they start pecking, and then they might get caught in the trap. But if you don't have any grain, no birds are coming. So the Jews took all the wealth out of Egypt. No birds were coming. There was nothing left in Egypt. They took everything out. Yishlakish said a different parable. They made it like a deep fishing pool without any fish. Sometimes you have a deep pool. Down on the bottom you have fish. They took all the fish out. They emptied Egypt of everything that they had. Okay, going back to some other elements about leaving Egypt. We know that when Hashem appears to Moshe at the burning bush, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, what's your name? What should I tell the Jewish people is your name? Hashem says, you tell them my name is I will be. Eheyeh asher eheyeh. I will be that I will be. What does that mean? Twice. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, Lechemor Elohim Yisrael. Go tell the Jewish people. Ani ayisi imachem b'shibud zeh. I was with you in this affliction. And eheyeh. Ani eheyeh imachem b'shibud malchios. I'll be with you at the affliction of the exile to take you out for the final redemption. Amar Lefanav of Moshe Rabbeinu says before God, Bibono shel Olam, Master of the World. Dayelet Tzara b'shaita. Enough for the problems when it happens. Let the Jews cry about the final redemption when they need it. Why tell them now they're going to be afflicted? They're going to have to be redeemed again. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, okay, you're right. Lechem Arlem, so just tell them, Eheyeh Shlochani Aleichem. Just tell them my name is Eheyeh, and Eheyeh is the one who sent me to you to take you out. Going back to, we said about Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, so now we have something which we mentioned a couple days ago before. Eliyahu HaNavi on Har HaKarmel, he davened and he said, Aneini Hashem, Aneini. Answer me, God, answer me. Why did he say twice? Answer me, answer me. Amar Bavo, Ravo explained, Lamar Melio, Aneini Shnei Pam. Why did Eliyahu HaNavi say, answer me twice? Malami, this teaches you. Amar Eliyahu Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eliyahu said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Aneini, answer me. Shetere Desh Min HaShamayim, V'tochu Kol Asher Al HaMizbeach. That a fire should come down from heaven and consume whatever's on the Mizbeach. V'aneini, and answer me a second time. Kadesh Lo Yomru Ma'isik Shafim Meim. They shouldn't think, oh, it's just magic. Shenemar, as the verse says, Vata Sibosa es libam achoranis, and you turn their heart backwards. In other words, through this miracle, you'll turn away their heart, and they should realize that it's not just magic. They should realize that this is from the will of God. All right, second Mishnah. The first Mishnah taught us about the timing for the reading of Shema of night, and now we get into the discussion of the timing for the reading of Shema of morning, which also leads us into the timing of when to put on tefillin in the morning. Says the Mishnah, Meimasa Koran Shema B'Shachris. What's the time to read Shema in the morning? So the earliest time is Mishiyakir Ben Chelis L'Lavan, when there's enough light out that you can tell the difference between blue dyed wool and wool that's still white. Rebbe Eliezer says, it has to be a little bit more light, Ben Chelis L'Karti, when you can tell the difference between blue wool and green wool. And how long do you have to read Shema of the morning? At night, we know there were three opinions in the Mishnah, and then we had five, and we had another opinion in the Brisa about how long you have to read Shema at night. What about in the morning? How long do you have to read Shema? Ad Aneit Sachama, until sunrise. As the sun is rising, that's the time to say Shema according to the Tana Kama. However, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you have Ad Shalosh Shaos, until the end of the third hour. Because as we've learned earlier already, we had this, Rabbi Yeshua was quoted right in Beis Amid Beis. Because the Torah says, Bekumecha, when you wake up, and kings wake up in the third hour. That's why he says you have till the third hour to say Shema. Shekein Derech Malachim, Lamod, B'Shalosh Shaos. Because the kings wake up at the end of the third hour. HaKorei Mekan Veilach, if somebody reads Shema after the third hour, Lo Hifsid, he doesn't lose out. He also is doing the mitzvah. Adam HaKorei B'Torah, like a person reading from the Torah. Asks the Gemara, my veins, Chedos L'Lavan. What does that mean? Enough light out in the morning that you can tell the difference between blue wool and white wool. Elim being Gvava de Imra Chivra, between a clump, a spool of white wool. Le Gvava de Imra Tchilta, versus a spoolful, a whole chunk of blue wool, or blue lila. Now we made the idea. Even at night, you can tell the difference between them. Ella, rather, what is it? When you have a chunk of wool and you put it into the blue dyeing bucket, so some of it catches, some of it doesn't catch it. You have to have enough light that in the same clump of wool, you can see the parts that are blue and the other parts that are white. What got really blue and what still didn't really catch as well and is whiter. So you have to have a significant amount of light out. Finally, we're going to brise some. Rabbi Meir says, what's the first time, first Shema in the morning, when there's enough light to tell the difference between Ze'ev Lekeleb, between a wolf and a dog? Rabbi Akiva says, there has to be enough light to tell the difference between Chamor, between a donkey, Le'arud, and a wild donkey, which looks similar. Others say, Mishiyiras Chavero Rachok Tal Ramos, there has to be enough light that if you see your friend at a distance of 6 feet, the Akirenu, you'll recognize him. Rav Huna said, Halacha is like that opinion, Ka'achirim, to be able to recognize a person at a distance of 6 feet away. Rabbi Abaya said, Litzfilin, in regards to the time for tefillin, which is before you read Shema, it's Ka'achirim, it's like Achirim, it's Misha Yakir, once you can recognize a person at a distance of 6 feet away. The Kriyat Shema, in terms of Kriyat Shema, when should you read Kriyat Shema? Kivatikin, you should read it like the very pious people, like those who are humble and they're righteous. Rabbi Yochanan said, Vatikin, the very pious people who love mitzvos, Hayugomrinota, they used to say the Shema imanetzachama. In other words, they say Shema right as the sun is rising, so to fulfill smichas gulul etzvila, so that they have the God Yisrael leading right into the Shmoneh Esrei, and the Shmoneh Esrei is with the rising sun. Anya Nam Yochi, we also learned in a brisa this way. Vatikin, those who are very pious, Hayugomrinosa, they would finish the Shema imanetzachama with the sun rising. So that you say the Gal Yisrael, and right away you have the petition of appealing to Hashem and it's the Spala Bayom, and you're praying right as the day starts. Reb Zera said, my Kra, what's the source that's the right way, that's the best way? The verse says, Yiraucha in Shemesh, they will fear you, also they will see you, they'll fear you through accepting the yoke of heaven, namely through saying Shema with the sun, and before the moon, they'll also fear you and accept the yoke of heaven through saying Shema Dor Dorim for generation to generation. Now talking about this importance of being Someh Ula Litfila, putting the mention of leaving Egypt right next to the mention of appealing for personal help. As Rav Kook explains, we have to think about leaving Egypt, the needs of the nation being redeemed. And only as part of the nation and as part of praying for the nation, we also pray for our own personal needs, for tefillah, for our own requests. Hey, Rabbi Yosef ben Eliakim, Mishum Kehala Kaddish of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosef ben Eliakim testified in the name of the holy community of Jerusalem. Kala Someh Ula Tefillah. Anyone who puts the blessing of redemption next to petition, next to Shmoneh Esrei, Eino Nizo Kol Yom Kulo, is not damaged the whole day. He's protected. Reb Zera said, Amy, it's not so. For Ana Samichna, I would put Kula next to Tfila. The Itziki, and I was damaged. I had problems. Related said to him, no, but my Itzik, how were you damaged? He said, I'll tell you how I was damaged. Damtayas Asala Be Malka, that you had to go bring, they said, how were you damaged? You had to go bring Hadassim, you had to bring myrtles to the palace. They said, they got in. They said, oh, you need to bring us myrtles today. You need to work for us today. So you're upset. So I wasn't able to learn. I had to go to the palace. I lost money. So they said to him, no. That's not being damaged. That's being blessed. Of Agra. You should be paying money. You should be paying money for the privilege of seeing a king. Lemechze ape malka. To see the face of a king. You should pay money to see the face of a king. We're not talking about a Jewish king here. We're talking about a Persian king. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Lo'olam yishtadel adam laretz l'kras malcha Yisrael." A person should always put in the effort to run to Jewish kings. L'kras malcha Yisrael bilvad, not only to Jewish kings. Ela fil l'kras malcha ov dekochavim, even to non-Jewish kings, he should run. He should put an effort to see them. Shem yiske, because if you'll have the privilege to see Mashiach, then yavchin bein malcha Yisrael, who can say, "Oh, Mashiach, the Jewish kings, look at their honor. I saw the honor of a human king. I saw President Trump or President Obama or President Clinton when he was president. I saw them when they were president. I saw the honor that the human kings had. It's nothing like the honor that Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to have. L'malchei ovdei kochavim, to the honor of the kings of the nations of the world. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that even a Kohen may be allowed to become Tameh in order to have the privilege of seeing a human king, non-Jewish human king. I'm going to be Lai L'ula. Rabbi Lai used to say to Ula, when you go up to the land of Israel, seek out the welfare of Rav Brona, my brother, together with the whole group, because he's a great man, he's so happy doing mitzvahs. Zim Nachada, one time, he merited to really feel the connection of Geula, the redemption of the nation, to Tefillah, to the personal requests. It was really attached, and he really felt that his personal requests are part of asking for the welfare of the nation. The whole day he was laughing, the whole day he was happy. Ask the Gemara the questions that we saw earlier in the Masechta. How are we actually putting Gula next to Tefillah? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan tell us? Omer Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Before someone asks, you have to say the verse. Hashem Svasai Tiftach. God open up my lips and let me say praises. That's a verse from Tehillim. And at the end of the 18 blessings, Omer, you say Hashem may all of my requests be a source of favor before you should accept them. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Elazar answered. Hey, Tefillah Shel Arvis. At night, when you don't have to say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, I'm sorry, when do you say Hashem Svasai Tiftach? No. That's only at night. In the morning, you don't say Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Really? Who's somebody who has a portion of the world to come? That's the one who puts Geula, namely Shema of Maariv, next to the Shemoneh Esrei of Maariv. So Maariv, also you have to have Geula Tefillah. Elam Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Elazar says, "Tehei b'tfilas mincha." Maybe only say Hashem Svasai Tiftach at mincha. Rav Ashi said, "No, afilu tei makulu." You say Hashem Svasai Tiftach at all the Shmona Esreis. Rabbanan b'tfilah. Since the rabbis established to say this verse at the beginning of the blessings, k'tfilah arichta damya. It's part of the blessing. It's not an interposition. It's not a barrier. It's one long Shmona Esrei. If you're not going to say this, Arvis at night, how are we actually putting Gula next to Tefillah? But by the name Ashkivenu, you have to say the blessing of Ashkivenu. Hello, what's the answer? Since the rabbis instituted Ashkivenu, it's like one long redemption. Hachanami, so too. Since the rabbis instituted to say Hashem Sosai Tiptok in Tefillah, it's like one long Shmona Esrei. Matthew, behold, this sentence, may my words find favor before you, could be at the end. It's also an appropriate introduction. May my words find favor before you. So that we're going to say all sorts of prayers, they should be acceptable. So my time to brachos. Why the rabbis instituted at the end of the Amidah, at the end of the prayer, lemru, may ikara say it before, instead of Hashem Svasai Tiftach. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Breid, Rabbi Shimon Pazi. Hovlo Arma David El Achash Mon Esrei Parshios. The Fichach Tkin Rabbanan the Achash Mon Esrei Brachos. David HaMelech said this verse after 18 sections of Tehillim. May all of my words find favor before you. So we also say it after the 18 blessings. May my words find favor before you. 1 second. Shmon Esrei. Hani Shmon Esrei. There are 18 chapters of Tehillim where he says it. No, Hani Tshisha Esrei. It's after 19 chapters. And so the Gemara is something we've seen elsewhere. Ashraya Ish, the first two chapters. Ashraya Ish and Lav Marag Shugayim Chada Parsha. They're really all one section. Tam Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rabbi Shimon Pazi. Rabbi Yehuda the son of Rabbi Shimon Pazi said, Mea Ushlosha Parshos Amar David. David said first 103 sections, 103 songs. V'lo Amar Haluka. He didn't say Haluka, such a praise. Praise God, all in one word. Shirabim Apalasim Shal Rishayim until he saw the wicked have a downfall. Shanamas, it says, Yitamu Chata'im in the Aretz. Let the sins end from the earth. Rishayim Odeinam, there won't be any wicked anymore. Baruch Hinafshi Yis Hashem, my soul will bless God. Haluka, praise God. Ask the Gemara. Hanan Me'ev B'Shalosh. There's 103. Me'ev Arbav. It's actually 104. The answer is, Ashraya Ish. And Lamarag Shugayim, Chada Parshahi is all one section.